Thanks to Gusto for supporting the Productivity Show. Gusto offers modern, easy payroll to benefits to small businesses across the country. They were even named Best Online Payroll by PC Mag. Get 3 months free when you run your first payroll at gusto.com/TPS.
Welcome to The Productivity Show, a podcast by Asian Efficiency to help you maximize your productivity so you can get everything done without having to sacrifice your health, family, and things that matter to you. We've helped tens of thousands of people save time, be happier, and become more productive. Tan is joined this time by Jamie Masters. She's been a top business coach for over 10 years and has helped hundreds of six and seven figure entrepreneurs and business owners optimize every area of their business. She's also the host of the online show Eventual Millionaire, where she's interviewed over 400 self-made millionaires. Jamie's a tech geek, has two kids, and even has a sword wall in her house. In this episode, Tan and Jamie talk about ADHD, something that Jamie has been diagnosed with. Tan asks her how she's able to run her successful business, be a parent, and be Asian Efficiency while managing her ADHD. Even if you aren't diagnosed with ADHD, you're going to learn new ways to focus, get less distracted, and make the most out of your limited time with time tracking. We hope you enjoy today's episode. You can find links to everything that we share in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/258. And now, on with the show.
I want to welcome back Jamie Masters to The Productivity Show. How are you, Jamie?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I am ecstatic that we're doing this podcast here in person, here in my place. That we can look each other face to face, and we've known each other for so many years, and we've had you back at episode 32.
Which is crazy. And you have to say that because I'm looking at you and you can't say that I'm not good while I'm staring you in the face, right?
Exactly. I think, it's been about 4 years now since we last had you. So I thought it would be fun to have you back and catch up and see where you've been up to lately.
I've been doing a lot, changing the world, all that fun stuff, right?
Yeah, we're going to be talking and nerding out about productivity. But before we do, we always like to kick things off with our top three favorite productivity resources. And I know you have a great list here. Do you want to share with people in 90 seconds or less what are your favorite productivity resources?
Has everybody ever said no to that, though? You just said, yeah. So I have to say yes, because I'm also sitting here looking at you in the face. Okay, so 90 seconds or left. The first one is going to be Timular, which is a device. So I love time tracking. We'll talk about that in just a minute, but it's a device that actually sits on your desk. It looks like a D&D dice, and you actually track your time with it. I thought it was cheesy at first, and I love it. So that's number one. Number two, I use nootropics a lot because I have ADD, and being able to focus my brain is huge. The one I've been using recently is called Genius Consciousness, which makes me just feel smarter anyway because I'm taking that. And then the third one is an exercise that I like to do, and I'll give it to you guys for free. Whenever I get really overwhelmed, especially because we have so much on our plate, I do a brain dump exercise, but I also have a triggers list for all the brain dump stuff. So that way I can feel like I can get it off of my brain and into like a sauna or whatever. And that to me clears up the clutter in my own head. So those are my resources.
Awesome. And we'll have links to everything in the show notes. So don't worry about it if you missed anything. So Jamie, for those who don't know who you are, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're up to.
Well, I was born in Maine. No. So I have a show. It's called Eventual Millionaire. I've interviewed over 400 millionaires in business, but I've also been a business coach for over 10 years, offline first and then switched online. So I've been coaching six and seven figure business owners, doing masterminds, retreats, for a long period of time. I feel like the old lady in the space, which is not true, I know, but the world of podcasting, I've had the podcast for probably 6 or 7 years. It's fairly a long time. We're not at the same number as you. We have 400 or so, but you're probably going to come up pretty close to me too.
Wow, 400 self-made millionaires.
Yeah. And I thought I was going to get like one back in the day. Like literally, I'm from Maine. I knew zero millionaires to begin with. So the fact that that many wanted to talk to me is, I'm impressed with myself.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I've listened to your podcast and I think it's so interesting when you interviewed so many people, you probably see a lot of patterns and interesting thoughts that people have. And I'm sure you learn so much. So if you haven't checked out her podcast, definitely go check that out. Because I think if you're really interested in business and just learning about business growth and how to run your business and just learn from other successful people, I think that's a really good resource for people to check out.
Well, and one of the reasons why I started doing it is I wanted to have not just the people writing books. Now, I interview people that are millionaires that wrote books too, but typically it's like the people that are touting what they do versus the people that are in their business. And really the tactics that are working right now to me was way more important than just hearing about it, you know, a couple of years later when the guy writes the book about it. No offense to all authors, but I know what it's like.
Yeah, I like the episodes where you have guests that aren't really well known at all. And they, you know, are just doing day-to-day work. Nobody really knows them, but then they'll share like little nuggets and you go, oh, yeah, that is amazing. That is smart. I should use that too.
A million times over. That's the reason why I do this, right? Yeah.
But enough praise for you today.
All right, done. No more. Zero.
let's nerd out about productivity. Because I know you're interested in this topic as well. And I think you have an interesting backstory because you always talk about how you have ADD and how it's so difficult to focus. And you work with a lot of entrepreneurs and people who are visionaries. And they're the kinds of people who are like really creative. They have all sorts of stuff going on, 5 million different things going on at once. And so I always find it fascinating how these people work. And so I'm super fascinated to have this conversation with you today because I'm like the complete opposite. I'm not a visionary type at all. I'm just like, hey, okay, we have a goal. We're going to create a plan. We're going to stick to the plan and go for it.
Yes, you and me are very not alike. Well, and that's the funny thing. After interviewing all these millionaires, so many of them have ADD, dyslexia, some sort of learning disability. And what's so awesome is that they've found ways to focus and be able to be productive anyway. And to me, knowing yourself is the most important productivity hack ever. Because what somebody's going to tell you does not always work for everyone. For you, you would be amazing for being an employee or anything. But for a visionary, crazy entrepreneur, we don't have anybody to direct us, right? So you're good at going to that goal. People like me, on the other hand, are a little bit all over the place. And so when I work with clients, it's less about going, oh, okay, what are all the ideas? And literally, it's more about just going, okay, well, you can pick one. And if you want to change it, you have to debate me on when you change it, just as a side note. So for my clients, I make them do that because, again, we need that form. But even on the small tactical level, I have to do things that you wouldn't think that you have to, like putting on Bose headphones and actually setting timers and doing the stuff to actually be productive and get in flow a lot more. Otherwise, literally, there was a woodpecker pecking at my thing earlier today, and I was like, squirrel, right? I was trying to take pictures of it. I was literally, like, I get distracted so easily that putting the constraints around it is really important. Same thing with the nootropics, because I don't want to take Adderall, but I need something, especially for an edge to be able to focus when I need to. Those are some of the things that I do.
So do you find it very challenging to focus and just do one thing at a time?
So that's sort of a misnomer on ADHD, just so you know. So I can focus on stuff I really like very well. So I can paint for hours straight looking at one little thing, but only if I like it. If I don't like it, way harder. So if I'm coaching or something, I am right in it and it's amazing. But if I'm doing something that, like writing, for example, which is not my core strength, but I do like it, it's like pulling teeth, depending on how I set myself up. So it's knowing what I can do and when I can do it to try and set myself up so I do have more of that focus. But the wonderful thing, this is what to me was a huge game changer, especially for anybody that has a business, having a right hand that actually manages up. So she tells me what my priorities are based on the vision that we had talked about before. And she labels everything for me. It's a P1 task in Asana, and I have to do those first, and then I have them all laid out. So I have everything pre-planned beforehand for the week, typically. And so all I have to do is go, today I have two things to do. As long as I can get those two things, then Jamie can be squirrel, and I can have fun and do a couple other things within the way that we're doing it, right? Or I'll have a master schedule, and that will sort of tell me what I do where as far as batching, like my meetings and stuff like that. But before I had that, I needed help. We call it owner and operator. So she's my operator. She helps me operate everything. And having that was huge because I would ignore the stuff I would put in my calendar. I would, you know, when you're supposed to batch, like, you're supposed to be doing this then. Whenever I work with clients, they're like, yeah, so that doesn't work for me. I'm like, yep, I get it. That's why you need somebody to hit you if you don't actually do it. Because that's the thing that you actually have to set up in order for you to trust the system. For someone like you, it's not really like that. You'll actually do what you tell yourself to do more often than someone like me, most likely.
Yeah, like I'm definitely not perfect, but I can see how that can be much more challenging. And I'm wondering then, when did you find out that you were dealing with this?
Well, what's funny is I always knew I had something, right? I'm very art creative focused, but I was also a computer engineer and have a degree in computers and was a project manager. Funny enough, it was hell trying to do the project management. I can do it, but it is definitely not a core strength. It takes up so much energy and I like to pre-plan stuff, but not when I'm made to, right? So it was not a fun job. I ended up quitting that job, totally not worth it. But I learned a lot about myself within all of that too. So what's really interesting, I didn't get actually diagnosed until I was 30, mostly because I went in going, I know I have something. I'm taking tons of nootropics, trying to figure this out. Do I actually have it or not? And right now my daughter's actually going through that. So we're getting her tested for ADD too, because she goes to an entrepreneurial kids school. And they set goals every single day and she's having a heck of a time. I'm like mother, like daughter, awesome. So we're trying to go over little tactics for her too, for a 9-year-old, which is way harder. if I have a client that's paying me lots of money, I can get them to do things way better than I can get my 9-year-old to do it, just so we're all clear. But we're trying to refine some methods on what works best for her, like working in a separate office away from all the other kids because she gets distracted so easy. There's small things like that that we're just starting to go down that path and figure out with her too. So I get to use all my tactics and techniques, but on a kid. So it'll be good learning lessons for me too.
Yeah, I would love to unpack that a little bit more because we have so many requests from our audience to cover ADD. And it's a tough topic because one, I don't deal with it myself personally. And also nobody in my company has it as far as I know or have been diagnosed.
I wonder why you're so efficient.
So it's very difficult to talk about that. And so we've actually started scheduling interviews with people who deal with that. And before we started talking to you, I had no idea you were dealing with this.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Nope. So this makes it even more fun for me to go through this today with you.
Like, also, what is wrong with you?
No. Well, I'm sure you felt that way when you were going through stuff. Right.
Yeah, no, it sucks. So, and this is what's tough for my daughter because I can see it through her eyes too, is especially because for her, she's like, what's wrong with me, right? All these other kids can do it and I'm having a problem. And I think I did that to a point, but I was so good at not covering it up, but getting stuff done anyway. I'm an overachiever. So I list off all my overachievements and everyone would be like, oh, she's amazing, right? Bought my first house at 19. I had a 6-figure job when I was 22. Like, it sounds like I'm awesome, which I am. No, but humble too, right? but I didn't realize that I was trying to compensate. So I worked so much longer and so much harder than what I knew that I could have done, right? So some of it is like health and brain optimization a little bit and then adding on the nootropics. But what's so interesting to me, especially for my high-level clients, most of them have some form of something that's a spectrum of ADHD, more visionary entrepreneur types. You can definitely tell the ones that don't because you tell them what to do and they'll do it right away and just, you know, come back. Not saying all visionaries don't do that, but we have to redirect them a little bit more. And so we have implementation retreats here in Austin. And when we have everybody come in, the first night that they come in, we do a little fun getting to know you exercise. And we do miracle berries. I don't know if you've ever tried those. They change. That's super fun to do anyway. But they change the sour receptors on your tongue and they make things sweet.
Oh.
Really cool. We did it for a kid's birthday party, but I also do it for adults. So you can eat lemons like and they taste like lemonade. Super cool. So we do that little thing to get everybody bonded. And then they joke. Then Jamie starts pushing pills, right? So then I have nootropics for them because it's a 3-day retreat. And when I have them come in, number one, it's not just about pushing pills, but I know how much that stuff can optimize you and putting in all these constraints for my type of clients that are a little bit all over the place. So we make them come up with a plan beforehand. And we give them nootropics to test because each nootropic is a little bit different for people. And what's interesting is at the end of the retreats, the most highlighted thing that people talk about is the pills that Jamie gives them. I was like, we bring in experts that are like amazing. They don't talk about those, right? High level people that you would know their names. And yet they're like, but the pills worked, right? So the thing is that especially for somebody undiagnosed, those nootropics or something or going down the health path will start to optimize you a little bit more. And when you feel like you have control over it a little bit better, it's huge. The other piece though, to me, I was just listening to a podcast the other day, and this is so true, about how we are training ourselves for distraction. So yes, some of it's ADD, but literally we're on our phone practicing being distracted forever, right? And so imagine practicing piano for 14 years, right? I've been practicing being distracted for a long period of time. So meditation has been really helpful for me. I've been meditating for 10 years. That's helpful. But trying to practice focus, that's why I have to do all the things, right? With the headphones and the nootropics and the sitting there without having other people around me, because working at a coffee shop is rough. So I have to keep working and practicing and doing the reps of getting away from the ADD stuff.
So when you work with somebody and you can kind of tell that they have ADD, if they don't know it themselves, how do you then work with them?
I don't know. Kidding. Well, one of my clients actually recently has ADD, but the first session I was like, "Ooh, it's getting away from him." So the first thing I do is, how's your diet? Have you been to the doctor lately? Do you? And a lot of times I let them decide if they want to ever take anything like Adderall. I have prescriptions for Adderall, but I don't like it. So that's why I use nootropics instead. So some people make the choice to take Adderall or something like that. But I'm like, clean up diet, clean up do the tools that you already know. Because a lot of people that, even if it's undiagnosed ADD, they know ways to work with themselves because they're owners and they do love learning, right? So they'll listen to your show and be like, "Ooh, this is a great idea." And some things will work for them and other things won't, right? How does Tan make it sound so simple? It's not that simple, right? But it's just because our brains are a little bit crazier. And so teaching the people around you to work with that, like Leilani, who's my right hand, she knows how crazy I can get. I've given her permission to rope me back in, right? And being able to set yourself up in those aspects is huge. So for my client, I was like, okay, your admin needs to manage up a little bit better. And you need to make sure where when you are distracted, you're paying attention and then rein yourself back in. Because we also gave him accountability in the mastermind. So he has to report all of his active actions every single week and we follow up with him, right? So there's small things that we do specific to clients that help them with those pieces, because there's a huge difference between working with someone that knows how to, I don't want to say control it, but manage it, versus somebody, especially like when I was a brand new business owner and was like, how come I can't get anything done, right? We really explain the active actions versus passive actions to them also. I don't know if you, I wrote about it in my book. I'm sure you didn't read my book, Tan, but that's okay. No. That's totally cool. But my mom didn't either. That's the sad part. But so when you're looking at active actions, they align with your goal. And what has a tendency to happen, and they also push you out of your comfort zone, what has a tendency to happen for anybody with ADD or not, because other people do this too, is you look and do passive actions. So something to just check off your list. So passive actions are updating plugins on your website and all those small things that you have to do, quote unquote, right? But you're like, I'll just do these instead of the more important ones. And so when we have clients focus on active actions, then their distractions become even more because they want to procrastinate and not do active action. So it just comes up. They have to like hold themselves to a chair and actually do stuff that's hard, because it's easy to avoid that stuff. But when you do that and when you make them responsible for those specific tasks, their business grows way more because they've got the push and the speed of implementation side is less. So they actually get a lot more results faster because you're just refining their focus a little bit on a task level, not a crazy nutso huge level. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. And I'm curious then, how does somebody work with this when, for example, they don't have a right-hand man and they're just like you, they were starting off, right?
Yep.
They're having maybe a side business, or they're just starting off, or they're thinking about starting a business, or they're in corporate right now and they're like, oh my gosh, I just got promoted. I have all these responsibilities now. Like, what do I do?
Yeah. If you can't get a right hand, I totally get it, because I didn't used to have one either. So what I would do is I would have one of my friends in my mastermind group hold me to it. So one of them was also very distracted, just like me. And I remember texting him and going, okay, these next, very much like Pomodoros or doing something like that with an accountability buddy, I would text him and go, I'm going to work on these things for the next hour and a half. Make sure I do it. And he would report to me what he was doing also. And then I would stick my headphones on and I would try and beat whatever I told him. So I could go, ha, I beat you. I got, because I'm also competitive. So that worked really, really well in the confines of what it was, when you have somebody that you can really go back and forth with. But it's a task level side of things. So it's way easier if you do have someone outside of yourself to help.
So accountability is a huge part of it.
Million times. Well, for me, definitely. I can't speak for every ADD person, but yeah, knowing what you have to do in a short period of time will definitely focus you, even if it's kind of painful to go through.
Yeah, you mentioned nootropics a few times.
Yeah.
And every time we bring up the topic, people always get a little weary or freaked out because it sounds illegal. It's like, you know, they're not quite sure what it is and what it means. So for those who've never heard of this term before, can you explain what it is?
Definitely. Yeah. And I don't like being known as the pill popper. That's not cool, right? I'm a mom of small children. Don't tell people that. But I totally get you because it does, for me on this side, going from Adderall, which is crazy nuts, to a nootropic is a lesser of two, right? For most people that don't have to take anything, it's a lot. So they're referred to as smart drugs, quote unquote, right? So it's for brain optimization and focus. There's some like Alpha Brain or Siltep. The one I take that's Genius Consciousness is a powder. And they just have herbs and nutritional supplements and stuff like that in it. And to me, even if, and this is what I want to highlight for people, even if it's the placebo effect that's working, right? I know these companies actually do put real stuff in it. But even if it's the placebo effect, that will help you optimize anyway. So yes, it's all legal. You can buy them on Amazon. It's not a big deal. One of the reasons why they have, in my opinion, so many not great reviews is because it really depends on your body chemistry. So some people, Alpha Brain will not work at all. They'll leave a crappy review, right? Some people, it works like amazing. And it just depends. Some people, Siltep works really, really well on. Some people it doesn't. And that's why there's all these crazy mixed reviews. But I would say don't knock it till you try it, because once you try it, then you'll know. And you might have to test two or three to find one that actually works with you. But there's a reason why everybody, out of all of the things in the retreat that we went above and beyond for, there's a reason why they said that, because they do work, especially for people that are a little bit more distracted like me.
Yeah, I've tried a lot of different nootropics, and I've tried Siltep, which I think our friend Benny,
yes,
right, owns that. And then I haven't tried Alpha Brain, but Siltep I found pretty effective. And then I went even a little bit more extreme a few years ago and I tried Modafinil.
I was like, too.
No, this is not for me. This is too intense.
Yep.
Too intense, because I felt really hungover the next day. Because if I take it at, say, 6 a.m., I would just work till midnight and be totally fine to not take any breaks. It was just super intense. And if I didn't solve this particular problem before I went to bed, I could just not fall asleep.
Oh, yeah, that's what I did too, right? So the stark contrast between having ADD and then taking Modafinil is nuts. It's like you're in a tunnel and you can only focus on one thing. But same thing for me, like that, way too strong. When I was writing my book, I totally did that. I tested out nootropic stacks that my friend would make for me when you have to take like 10 pills, because now they're all in one. Thank goodness we've evolved, because that was really annoying, taking like 10 different yellow pills and blue pills and all sorts of stuff. But now Alpha Brain, it's one pill and it can make you feel so much better. So to me, we've come a long way, and I think they're going to come a lot more and have a lot more studies on it. So that way people don't have to feel like it's sketchy, because I know it's like pushing stuff, right? But it's the same thing as supplements for your body to try and feel better. It's a supplement for your brain.
Payday. Everyone loves payday, except the people who have to prepare it. That is, unless you are a business owner that uses Gusto. You can tame the chaos of payroll, benefits, and HR with Gusto. Gusto gives you payroll, benefits, HR, and management tools all in one place. And it's built from the ground up for modern small businesses. With Gusto, you can automatically file and pay all state, local, and federal payroll taxes. You can even manage health benefits, 401ks, and more for almost any budget. Gusto lets you sign, store, and organize employee documents all online. Running your payroll with Gusto takes only 11 minutes on average. They've partnered with small businesses across all 50 states, and Gusto was named Best Online Payroll by PC Mag. Get 3 months free when you run your first payroll at gusto.com/TPS. Try a demo and test it out at gusto.com/TPS. I think the reason I got away from it and now I'm just focused on caffeine, which I think everybody is okay with.
Right. That one's okay.
Right, so for me, it's just green tea and with some honey a little bit and I'm good to go. But for me, it's mostly about the ritual. The fact that when I create my tea and it's just this little ritual and I have this matcha powder and then I whisk it around. And I just, that ritual makes me feel really good about myself and focused. And I'm like, and then I'll start writing. And then oftentimes I don't even drink my tea because I'm just in that state, in that flow.
That's very impressive, number one. And yeah, that's the funny thing too. For me, whether it be coffee because I was a very heavy coffee drinker also beforehand. I haven't had it in a while. But to me, it's the ritual, the placebo effect though too. Like, ooh, I know how it feels when I have a cup of cold brew. And I know what that buzz feels like. And I know that I can turn on and actually go into my focus state a little bit better because of that. And it is, it's all about rituals. So that's what I was saying. I wear Bose headphones and I set timers. And for my birthday, for Mother's Day, my daughter got me this crazy glass timer thing now. So it looks cooler on my desk than a little timer thing, right? But those things are rituals for me too. I know that when I need to get in flow, sometimes it's going and working by the pool, but I try and set myself up so that my body can realize what's happening. Right? It's like brushing your teeth before you go to bed and putting on your blue blockers and doing all the things because that's the ritual that your body knows to start going to sleep. You're just lucky that you don't have to have 12 different things to get into flow like me.
So describe to me then, what does a typical day look like if you have, let's say, a really big project that you have to get done by the end of the week, right?
Great question.
Like, how do you then kind of like plan your day or think about your day? And like, how do you actually get something done by the end of the week? I'm really curious to see what your kind of like overall flow looks like.
I have Leilani do most of it. No. So it is. So I have kids, right? So I leave bright and early in the morning to go drop them off at school. And then I'm done by 3 because I have to go get them. And so typically the way that a normal week is, I batch my calls on Tuesdays and Thursdays in the afternoon. I used to do 8 calls in a day and then I would die a little bit afterwards. But then I have pockets of work time. So I found that in the morning, it's way better for me. So no mornings I have any meetings scheduled from, well, all morning till probably about noon now. So that's my productive time. But what I do in my Asana is I actually have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday already mapped out. And Leilani has already broken down whatever that project is that I need to work on. So I just wrote a new email autoresponder sequence. So last week we were going over all the info. And then I love learning, like on-demand learning. So I bought Neville's course, which is actually kind of funny. So I started listening and learning and retapping. And I've done a lot of copywriting before, but retapping into what that is like. So I did that, but I give myself time and space to be able to do that. So because I like feeling spacious and only small increments of flow, because I can't be in flow all the time and I'll just get frustrated. So I'll do things like watch a couple of those videos, percolate on it and go have a shower and write on the little notepad in my shower that I have on some ideas that I have. So I give myself the time and space to be able to do that. Or even in the morning, I meditate every morning and I write down my ideas then like, ooh, I'm going to do this. Ooh, I'm going to do that. And then I take that and then I'll set myself up for flow or whatever the chunk of time is that I have to do. So if it's recording videos, I can't put on my Bose headphones, right? But I'll go, okay, I have an hour and a half. I'm going to try and get 11 videos done. And then I'll set my little timer and I'll just knock them out as best I can. So the prep work definitely has to happen first, but that's usually already laid out in my Asana with priority numbers on them. And that way I can put all my notes and be ready to go when I need to. Does that make sense?
So do you have a weekly meeting with Leilani to then go over and say, hey, this is what we're going to do next week? Or how does that look like?
We talk a lot. But yes, we do have a weekly meeting. I was actually chatting with her on the car on the way over. I usually actually do during drive times to go pick up the kids. So I'm trying to be as effective as I can because I was stuck in traffic on the way here, right? So I'm like stuck in traffic going, okay, I'm so distracted. You can't talk to me right now because I was trying to drive and do that. And with ADD, not good. So I'm like, you're going to have to wait a minute. So she's just working and waiting for me. But typically we also have a weekly meeting in person. So she's coming over usually on Thursdays and then we'll do, because I need whiteboards because I'm so visual. So I'll map everything out and stuff like that. And then she'll take that and put it in the project plan for me and go, these are your action items. And I'll go, great. And she hides all the rest of them because if I see too much in my Asana, I also get overwhelmed. She's wonderful. Because I'm like, can I only have like 10 at a time? Because if you give me more than that, I get overwhelmed and don't want to look at it. So she maps it out and she only assigns them as soon as I'm done the other ones, which is awesome.
Wow, that's so fascinating. So it sounds like you have a great partnership in that sense.
Thank goodness, yes.
And you found somebody who really gets you.
Well, what's so funny, and this is what we say, so I have more of a global view of learning, right? I want to see the whole wide spectrum. She's very analytical. She wants a syllabus. So what we found, and we've been working together for quite a few years now, is that there needs to be translation between us because our brains do not think the same way at all. And so sometimes I have to go, okay, I'm going to map it all out. Don't write anything down because she's like already trying to put it in a plan. I'm like, no, this is brainstorming time, right? So we've worked back and forth so many times that now we even help other companies with their owner and their operator. So the operator doesn't understand that owners can be crazy, like visionary, crazy owners. So when they actually, the operator chats with Leilani, they're like, oh, I thought I was the only one dealing with somebody like this, right? So they have someone, and I told Leilani, you can say whatever you want about me. She knows how crazy it is to work with me. But the owners and the operators don't really have that translation. So one of the things that we really work on is going, okay, your operator needs a definition of done. You can't just throw it at them and go, it's kind of going to be like that, right? So the owner has to get better at their translation process to over. But then the operator has to understand that the owner, that's how their brain works. And it's foreign because the operator should be detail-oriented and an operations person. But they're not crazy. I mean, they're crazy, but they're not crazy, right? So understanding how to manage and work together to do that and compromise, right? Leilani's great about me going, can you put them like this? She's like, sure. I'm like, it's okay if you think I'm crazy, but I would love that. And she's amazing, right? And so having those chunks and also like having an escalation plan. So I can't interrupt her because I will interrupt her all the time. Or if she interrupts me, I'm like, what was I even doing, right? So being able to have some of those things that are keyed in has been extremely helpful also.
Yeah, just adding in the definition of done, I can see how that can alleviate and prevent so many frustrations. Because if you say, as a visionary, I want it to be like this and it should like be like that and look like this and feel like this, then that doesn't really translate into an operational person.
Not even at all. And that's the funny thing. Owners don't understand that. They're like, but I told them.
Exactly.
So I'll go to my clients and go, but you didn't tell them. Imagine you gave them a half-assed whatever it is and be like, here, this is the, we're done, right? That's what you're doing to them. That's why you're getting that back. Because they look at the operator and go, well, that's not what I asked for. And it's like, that's on you, sir. That is not, right? That's not on them. And there's definite go-between of each, but it's huge.
Yeah, so training them and also even just when you run a team, for example, let's say you're listening right now and you run a big team and you're delegating work, one of the biggest things you can do for your delegation is just getting super clear on the definition of done. If everybody understands what the definition of done is, this, for example, if you need to have a logo done, for example, the definition could mean something like, hey, the logo is in PNG format. It's a minimum of 1,000 pixels by 1,000 pixels. It's stored in this folder and Tan has seen it and he has approved it. Like that is the definition of done.
Now, the owner doesn't like those nitty-gritty details typically, right? I know you do, but most people don't. So they'll be like, it's kind of like this and I kind of want it like this. And so what we do is we try and say, can you show them? So even if they don't say it's 1,000 by 1,000, but if you can show them, I want it to be exactly like this one, but my own logo, right? And it's the exact sizes and they can sort of take it from there, especially for visual people, because they get owners get caught up in the details. And they can't function. Their brain just doesn't really process it. It's processing issues. So it's tough to go, hey, we'll explain the definition of done, especially if they don't totally know what it is. But if they can say, find something that looks just like what you're looking for, that way their picture matches the other picture, it's really important too. So we're for the actual visual ones like me, we need pictures, which just sounds like I'm a kindergartner, but... show me a picture. I want to draw it out.
Yeah, visual representation of... definition of done, I think, is always superior to text because it just makes it so much easier to say, hey, this is what it should look like, right? And one of the things you also mentioned earlier, we talked about this a little bit, but before we start recording, which is tracking time.
Yes.
And this is one of those things where people, it's kind of like budgeting. People don't really like to track all of their expenses and really see the truth of how much money they spend on stuff and how much like money goes out.
Yes.
And from what I've seen with Asian Efficiency is we usually don't start with suggesting tracking time because people are just so scared to see where their time is going. But is this, you know, can you handle the truth, yes or no, to me? Or at least that's how I look at it. But I'm curious to see, how do you track your time? Like, what's been your finding of doing that? And
definitely,
do you recommend people do it?
Oh, big time. So what I was saying to you beforehand, and we'll give this on the landing page so everybody can see exactly what I give to my clients, but I make my clients do it. And I tell them that up front. I go, you're going to hate me at first and you will love me later. You can put a punching bag of Jamie's face on it and hit it all you want, but you need to get me the data in the way that I want it in 5-minute increments. Like that's how crazy we go for 3 to 5 days. Ideally longer, but they can barely stand 3 to 5 days, right? But personal and professional. Because there's optimization that can happen in the personal life that will make them feel so much better that in the business world, they'll come back happier and clearer and all that sort of stuff. Like, I hate laundry. Hate it, hate it, hate it. I don't do my laundry anymore. Thank goodness. So pulling some of those things that viscerally you hate, you don't really know unless you're looking at it. Because what we do, and in that sheet, we'll have them time track everything and then we organize it, right? And the act itself of time tracking, which is why I like that Timular, because it's visual and on my desk and I can just move it, which is a little bit easier than Toggle or something like that, where you have to actually remember to and then go in it. But 3 to 5 days, you can do anything. Put on your big girl pants. Come on, you guys can do it. It will make your life happier in the long run. And being able to take that information and not only optimizing for delegation, because it's a whole list of what you could actually delegate if you have a team, or optimize on, even if it's on the personal side, setting up Amazon so it automatically sends you dog food so that way you don't have to remember, all that fun stuff. There's small things that you can do that will make your brain relax a little bit more. At least that's how it works for me. But for me, I don't do it all the time. I definitely have it on my desk, but I try and do chunks. So I'll do the exact same thing. And it's the awareness part that's the biggest thing, because even when I have clients do it, they come back to me afterwards and I have all their data and we've reorganized it. And they're like, I already know what to do. Like, yeah, you should, because when you're in it, especially for owners that think that they're doing so much, our brains, our memories are not that good. So they'll be like, I worked like 80 hours last week. And then I'll have them time track and it'll be like 32. They're like, but I was thinking about it for all the hours. Or I did email for so long. Oh, it was 32 minutes. Oh, I guess that's not very long, right? So when you start to actually look at the data, you can make changes based on that. And yes, painful, but if you want a better life, definitely worth it. Now, when people pay me a lot of money, they do what I say typically, hence the reason why I like my job. But I highly recommend anybody that's listening right now to just do a time on it, even if it's 2 days, even if you're just sticking to it for a little bit, because getting that information back will help you actually optimize your life for you, not for what a guru tells you is good for you. But when you look at it and you go, I hate that. I don't want to do that. I hate that. There's a lot of things now. Thank goodness we live in the world that we do. That you don't have to do, and you can pay somebody else to do it. And it will probably make you happier, which will also in turn most likely make you more money. So to me, time tracking is where it all starts.
It's interesting you said that earlier, how when you're in it, you start to realize all these different things of, oh, this is what I like, this is what I don't like. And it reminds me of, I did this exercise many, many years ago where you would just only pay cash for everything. And so you would take all this money, put it in an envelope,
the
and
every time system. You go out. Yes, I used to do that.
And then you would just pay cash for everything. And then every time you take out money, you're like, oh man, I don't want to spend this money. Yeah. But then you realize, oh my gosh, I'm actually spending so much on food or on drinks or whatever. Because you're quote unquote in it, you actually have to spend it, right? You go, oh, okay, now I get it. Now I see where the money is going. Because when you're spending on the credit card, you don't really know what's actually going out.
Well, what's funny is in my book, chapter 2, I paid off $70,000 in debt when I was younger. I had no idea that I was in $70,000 in debt. Like, I'd never added it up before until I wanted to quit my job. And you talk about the whole budgeting thing. I made good money, so I thought I was good. And I added that up, and it was like the time tracking thing where it's like I got shot to the chest going, I was 22 and in $70,000 in debt, not in credit card debt, in debt in general. And I'm like, I can never quit my corporate job. My former husband was a juggler. I was like, we're in 70,000. He maybe makes 30,000 a year. Like, it's all on me. And so being able to actually have the hard truth come out and take responsibility for it, because that's the other piece, right? I could have just swept it under the rug, but taking responsibility that I made choices, maybe not the best choices, right? And I had to clean up my own mess. Very empowering. Very empowering. Annoying is all crap, by the way, because you have to eat your own, you know, but being able to acknowledge it makes you be able to surpass it. That's how we grow as humans. And if you can't be honest with yourself, you're not going to live the life that you want either. You're just going to keep sweeping everything under the rug.
So when you look at somebody's timesheet, where do you look at first, or what do you look at, or how do you optimize something like that? Because, for example, it might say, oh, you know, I was on Instagram for 45 minutes. Well, is that good, bad? Like, what does that actually mean?
It depends on what your goals are. And that's the point, right? So for us, we start categorizing it based on how much it would cost to have somebody else do it, right? So if it is admin type tasks and you can get someone $20 an hour to do, that's good to know. We categorize and put it all in one chunk. I also want to know if you actually like it or not. So if you love doing your social because you absolutely love social, that's fine. Everybody should be able to keep what they actually like to do. That being said, if you can pay someone easier and you're not necessarily enjoying it, that's the goal. When I've interviewed so many millionaires, they say that leveling up on your strengths, and we've heard this before, zone of genius and all those things, right? But when you actually get to the nitty gritty, your opportunity cost is crap for all the small things that you're making micro decisions to do instead of actually going, ooh, if I actually came over the top of it and decided what I did for the week, it would probably be different instead of us making small choices when we're exhausted or whatever, right? You're like, oh, okay, I'm just going to order in again because I don't want to cook. But the smarter you wouldn't be doing that. And so when we actually can see it, you can make clearer decisions on what you actually want to be doing and not. And the reason why I care so much about optimizing it for time or for delegation is because, especially if you're growing a business, the amount of time that you, amount of money that you can make is directly correlated to how much you can do of the work that really matters that only you can do. So in order to grow your business, we have to get the other stuff up your plate, especially for entrepreneurs that just feel like they are doing everything for everyone all the time. We have to clear off the crap because I'm going to give them a whole bunch of action items for the next few weeks. And if we don't clear off the decks first, they're going to be like, Jamie's just overloading me. So we have to go, oh, look, we're going to take those 12 hours and we're going to have an admin do that. And a lot of times they already have a team. I'm like, why are they not doing that? And they're like, oh, you're right. Oh, I didn't want to train them. I thought it would just be faster for me to do it. So it's just having that decision mentality when you're aligned and you're feeling good about what you really want to be spending your time on and being able to see it in that nitty gritty is amazing. And sometimes, don't get me wrong, admin tasks are a little easier because it's a lower level job, but there's stuff that you're doing that is probably higher level that maybe you don't even like and you do have to keep it. But knowing that long term you want to hire an employee to be doing that task so it's not you is also empowering. Ooh, if I make this much more, then I don't have to do that either. And it feels really good.
Yeah, one thing I also see people make the mistake of is thinking that when they delegate something like that, which might be considered lower level, mm-hmm. Guys, it's just as important work, right? Like when we upload a podcast, yes, it has to be uploaded and stuff like that. And if that doesn't get done, well, guess what? Then there's no podcast to be listened to, right? So it's all important work.
Yes.
And just because it's kind of quote unquote lower level doesn't mean that it's unimportant. It's as important.
Definitely not. Yeah. But for somebody that has ADD, that's not as good at getting the stuff done that they don't like to do, if uploading a podcast, which sounds very simplistic, is one of those things that you just procrastinate on, then that's impeding your business also. And that's the thing that's tough. I mean, that's a huge big deal, especially if there's a whole bunch of people waiting going, where'd that podcast go? Oh, wait, right? So low level tasks and how you treat your customer service and your clients and everything matters hugely to the type of business you're running. And so don't think that it's not a big deal, please, because it is. And most likely, no offense, someone's probably way better at it than you, and let them do that work.
Yeah, I love it when I can delegate something that I don't particularly like doing, but somebody else loves doing, right? And they're really good at it, and they're even better at it than I am. And then go, oh, yeah. Good job, Tan.
Well, that's the funny thing. It's a lot of my entrepreneurs have issues letting go. They're usually not even the best at that thing, right? But they're like, but I know the way I do it is specialized or whatever. They're justifying, and they're so good at holding on and want control that it's harder for them to actually let go. I've actually had so many conversations with clients that we finally optimized and systemized their business. And they're like, well, now I don't know what to do with myself. So then they're hovering over their employees and micromanaging because they're like, I don't know what to do with myself. In many cases, we've started other businesses, we've done charity work, we've done a whole bunch of other things. They don't have to be the person watching over everything if they have the trusted system and a team with a culture that's really great.
So when it comes to time tracking, you mentioned earlier how you figured out that you didn't like doing laundry, mm-hmm. right? So what are some of the other things that you discovered when you started doing this that you kind of like optimized for or got rid of or delegated or did something else with?
I love it. And it's always a refining process, right? So I did have a personal assistant. I hate dishes also, side note. I hate cleaning in general. I'm quite messy. I mean, overall, I like having a clean house though. So for me, especially on the mom task stuff, I'd be so exhausted to make dinner. I'm trying to like clean the house before the kids went to bed it was just, I was cranky. I was super cranky, right? And so for me going, hey, paying somebody to be an assistant and not for very many hours a week, it wasn't very much. She just went on maternity leave and told me she wasn't coming back. So now I'm glad for her. I'm really happy for her. And I'm like, no, but those small things are huge. So even now I'm like, well, I drive the kids to school and she was driving them to school. Now I have to find something for that. Cause right now that's 2.5 hours a day for that. And I'm still back in doing it. So I'm trying to optimize and enjoy that time as much as I can and chat with the kids and daydream and listen to cool podcasts and do stuff to make that time actually enjoyable, even though I'm the one that has to do it right now. And I love being with my kids, so don't get me wrong. It's not like I don't like that, just being stuck in Austin traffic for that long. So those are some of the small pieces. But what the eye-opening thing is to me is going, well, I love leveling up on podcast interviews or strengths, my strengths specifically, and being able to go, ooh, I know my team, especially on the tech side, because I was a dork and was doing a lot of like the tech stuff because I'm like, well, it's easy for me and I can, and it was my passive actions that I kept doing and thinking, well, I'm really good at this. And I used to get paid $100 an hour to do tech work. So that's something, right? Ta-da. And in reality, it was just me going, but I feel like I need to be in control of all that stuff because most programmers suck and I used to program and all sorts. I had all sorts of opinions that were holding me back on some of those things too. So it is a process of learning what is easy to let go and what is a little bit more difficult for you to let go, but it's one step at a time. And you're always doing it. That's why I was saying I'll do time tracking again and again, because you can always keep optimizing for later. And you're never perfect either, just as a side note. Like it's always, something's always messed up a little. So it's not, you can't be perfect in any of this, but knowing that and just trying to optimize so your happiness is the most important is what I try and do.
Yeah, just the fact that you start tracking just makes you, again, so aware of everything that's going on, of how you're spending your time, where everything is going. And just the fact that you know that you're, you know, switching tasks, for example, and you're going, oh, I have to now actually start tracking that I'm going on Facebook. You start to be aware and then you go, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this right now.
So last week for the mastermind, I made everyone delete Facebook off their phone. Most of them had that. I have newsfeed eradicator because, again, squirrel. So I have to make sure it's out of complete sight and mind. And I can't do it because I'm the type of person that would just do it anyway. Do you know what I mean? So I joked with the group because I made them delete Facebook off their phone. But I know I'm smart enough. I'm like, you didn't open a web browser and just log in there, did you? Because yes, Facebook is off your phone, but I've done that before, so that doesn't count. And a couple of people were laughing because it's like, okay, yeah, you're right, you got me, you know? But it's always a refinement process. And I'm not saying never go on Facebook, but still, when you're knowing what you actually want to achieve and those things that were the opportunity costs that you don't even realize are going away because you're taking up small increments of time.
Yeah, a lot of times when people are complaining that they don't have a lot of time, they think that, you know, okay, I come home from work, I have to do X, Y, and Z and stuff like that. And when you do a real time audit, you start to uncover all these areas where, oh, well, it looks like you're watching Netflix for an hour and a half a day. Like, what if you don't do that? Yeah. Right. And then people might say, well, I need to relax as well. And I totally understand that. Right. But there's other ways to do that more effectively.
So that's my point. So single mom with two kids, like I went at a business with employees, right? I can be like, and I'm driving that long time in the car. So when I talk about time, I'm like, nobody's got any excuses, right? I don't watch TV though, typically, but when I started to go, what actually recharges me? Because that's the point of Netflix. You're trying to relax so that way you can feel relaxed and recharged for later. And what I realized, especially when I used to watch a lot of Netflix and stuff like that, and I still do, I'm not saying it's bad, I realized that taking a bath makes me so much more recharged. Getting away from a screen and going outside, way more recharged. But I didn't have that ability to even notice that beforehand. It was like, this is what I do. I want Netflix and a glass of wine because that's what everybody does at the end of the day, right? But wait, going out in nature and going for a walk and actually moving will give me more energy than having a glass of wine and wanting to fall asleep into Netflix. Who knew, right? And so you're trying to figure out for yourself, because each person's different. And I'm not saying don't watch Netflix. I'm just saying being cognizant of what gives you energy and what takes away your energy is huge.
Yeah, one thing I've noticed about myself when I start tracking, and I do it maybe once every 2 years, so I could probably do a better job of doing it more frequently. But one thing I've noticed as an example is I really enjoy drinking Japanese whiskey. That's one of my little things that I really enjoy. But I've also learned from tracking that I don't sleep as well when I have a drink. And so yes, you know, if I drink, let's say on a Tuesday evening and I'm really enjoying it, and I'm actually quote unquote recovering. The fact is I'm actually not recovering because I'm not going to sleep that well. And then the next morning, my day is actually not that productive. So I had to kind of like uncover and discover over time that, oh, maybe Tan shouldn't drink Japanese whiskey on a Tuesday evening. Maybe save that for like Thursday evening, Friday, maybe, right?
I'm right there with you. I noticed that too. And I totally had wine last night and was like, darn, I totally didn't sleep as well as I did. And this morning I woke up and I was like, there's that feeling again. That was totally awesome, right? So being cognizant of the, because it's nuances. It's trying to figure out what those nuances are. And if you're totally unaware, then it's hard to even notice that stuff. But when you are more tapped into what you're doing and how you're spending your time, you can notice those small things. And it makes a huge difference, right? Drink all you want on the weekend. No.
Oh, it makes a huge difference. I mean, just one poor night of sleep can just affect the rest of your day. But if you just take a quick nap, it can usually reset a lot of that and then you're good to go for a few hours. But I really love just the idea of, okay, if you're tracking your time, you can look at opportunities. Mm-hmm. That's how I see it. You look at opportunities to improve what you're currently doing so that you can get the results that you're looking for, aka your goals.
Well, when you talk about a nap, I'm mom brain where I'm like, I ain't got time for a nap, sir. Sorry. Like, naps are so luxurious, just so you know. So, but that's still an excuse. I still have ways that I meditate for 10 minutes when I'm feeling exhausted. I meditate for 10 minutes and go, okay, I can recalibrate based on that, because sometimes I don't sleep. Sometimes my dog barks for thunderstorms. Got the thunder vest. That didn't work. We were doing everything. Some nights it's been thundering like crazy and I just don't sleep at all. And I notice so much the next day. And so if anybody is having problems, because I definitely talk to my clients about sleeping, that's one of the core things that we talk about too, because especially if you have ADD or are not optimal anyway, sleep is like the number one thing. So my friend Sean Stevenson wrote a book called Sleep Smarter. I don't know if you read it or not. Very, very good, which goes through all the pieces of trying to get a better night's sleep, because that's really the core. You can't focus the next day if you have a lack of sleep. It's so much more difficult.
Yeah. One of the clients that I worked with, the only thing we changed about his lifestyle was just getting an extra hour and a half of sleep. And guess what happened? He got more work done. Everything got done in time. He had more energy. He had more focus. And the only thing we changed was the fact that he slept more.
See, I ask my clients if they snore, if they ever had a CPAP machine or need one. I mean, one guy just the other day was like, oh yeah, I haven't been using it because it's a pain in the butt. I'm like, well, just start and just see, right? And he was like, oh yeah, I sleep 100 times better and I wake up actually, because he was exhausted. And like, yeah, nobody wants to deal with the CPAP machine, but if you need it, like, we need to optimize for what you already know you need to be doing also, which is, those things are the things that sort of get put by the wayside. It's like, ooh, what are nootropics? What are the cool tactics that we have? And it's like, dude, sleep would be way better than all the time tracking in the world potentially, right? So depending on what you're doing, I highly recommend that too.
So what are some other things you see people when they start tracking their time? Is there any particular area you see that, oh, this needs to be optimized all the time, like sleep? Or is it social media? Do you see a lot of people wasting time on, or like commuting, or what are some areas of improvement?
Funny, I wish I could pull them all up, because I love seeing that, like, the actual things that they write in. So what's funny, this is more of a mindset thing, but involved with the time tracking side. What's interesting, especially for business owners, I work with a lot of men actually, to tell you the truth, but for females too, when they're doing an activity, they're not all in. So what I'll see on some of their time tracking is like, oh, I was doing email when I was with the kids, or I was trying to answer texts while I was doing, they weren't 100%. So they're half-assing all of it, right? And when they don't go all in, it feels so much more draining, because they're trying to do everything all at once. And so I'll notice that, like, oh, why were you didn't shut off after this certain time? And it's like, well, they still feel like, quote unquote, that they're working, but they're getting barely anything done, and it's just taxing because they're trying to do too many things at once. And so what I tell them is, and I used to be this, so I can't say anything. I was the mom martyr that was like, when I'm with my kids, I wish I was working. And when I was working, I wish I was with my kids, right? When they were little. And flipping that on its head, huge. Being in the present moment when you're with your kids or doing something fun and being actually there creates a better family life anyway. Or if it's in business and you're going all in on that and cutting out distractions, that alone will make a huge difference to how you feel based on that stuff. So a lot of times I'm just noticing that stuff and also asking them when they actually feel better. So some people love the miracle morning. I'm not a morning person. I wake up early enough, like 6:37, but I'm not a morning person. I would much rather work at night. And so knowing that and how your energy flows throughout the day is huge. So we do that too. We go through when is optimal for you to be doing writing, like we were talking about before, when is optimal to actually be with the kiddos, which usually we kind of have to do whatever we have to do, so says school. But if you're homeschooling, you can actually change up the way that you're doing things. So it's really paying attention to that stuff also. So I can't say that it's always one thing with people because I ask a million questions to try and figure out how they work. But when we create the master schedule, because I have them guess on what the master schedule is, and that'll be in all the links too. So you'll get a free little template for a master schedule, which is just time blocking. You know, it's just a week long. But when you start actually looking and going, ooh, when I'm actually with my kids, what do I want to do? Ooh, you know what? I really want to go for a walk with them because I feel like that will optimize my energy for the whole evening, right? So I don't have to sit and watch Netflix. And maybe I can do something with my time later if you want to work later. So doing that stuff, I have them test the master schedule first. We're not going to write it down and then forget about it because they're like, oh, that didn't work, because entrepreneurs also hate being told what to do and when to do it, just as a side note. So you give them a master schedule and they're like, I don't feel like it. All cranky entrepreneurs, but it's flexible. So you have to be able to change it and optimize based on what you want for that. So test it and be like, oh, didn't like that, did like that, right? But as long as when you are testing it, you're going all into whatever that activity is. So if you're going into Facebook or Instagram, be happy about that. I'm not saying don't do it. Just be very happy and only do that piece, right?
Jamie, I'm loving this conversation. And I think we might have to get you back for maybe a third appearance. Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe we can do it faster than 4 years.
Since yes, last time. My goal in life was to have you say that.
So if people want to work with you, they want to find out more about you, where should they go? Where can they find you? And please mention this resource.
This wonderful landing page that we have. Yeah. So if you go to eventualmillionaire.com/AE for Asian efficiency, we're going to have everything there. And they're Google Docs. So it's not opt-in. You don't have to do emails 17 times. You can just download the videos right there and we'll put the Nootropics one on there also. But otherwise, check out my podcast, Eventual Millionaire, or you can go on the site, eventualmillionaire.com.
Awesome. Thank you for being here today.
Thanks for actually inviting me to your house so I can see you in the face.
At Asian Efficiency, we believe you shouldn't have to sacrifice your personal life to get things done. You should be able to get the important things done in the time that you have. That's why we've built a productivity quiz to help you maximize the time that you have, increase your energy, and get you more focused. We've helped tens of thousands of people increase their productivity, and within 2 minutes of taking the productivity quiz, we'll show you exactly what you need to do next to increase your productivity. To take the quiz, just go to theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Again, that URL is theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Don't let your never-ending to-do list drag you down and stop sacrificing your health and family to get things done. Take the quiz today and you'll be on your way to becoming superhuman productive. You can find links to everything we discussed today in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/258. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving us an iTunes review or a star in Overcast. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next Productive Monday.